Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. All right. Well, I'm hoping the connection is much better on your end than it is on mine. You know, with my incredibly embarrassing internet service, it sounds a little off today. But anyways, this is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I know we were gone for a few extra days. Sorry about that. But hey, I'm here today. Dan the Man will be joining us in a few minutes. And if you'd like to call in, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did pop up over there this morning, so swing on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you'll see the link that'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Go on over there and give that a like if you can. We'd appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also hunt me down on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. That's BURKETIME. And since we're waiting for Dan to roll in, and there's a lot of actual Major League Baseball stuff to talk about, but I want to hold off with that till he gets here. I wanted to start off with just kind of some humorous stuff that's been happening to Mr. Fantasy and I in what we call our Money League Fantasy League. In case you don't remember Mr. Fantasy, he used to do 2 hours with me on Sunday, but then he just kind of disappeared one day and never mentioned anything about doing it again, so I just left it alone. But we still co-manage this Money League team, and it's in a 15-team league, and they have this setup where you play against two opponents every week. And 2 weeks ago, you know, we had some guys on bye, and we had to adjust some lineups, and we had to play – and I'm going to butcher his first name, so I'm just going to say it's Chevault, who's the wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars, the rookie. I believe he was a second-round pick. And he's had a bit of an up-and-down season, but, you know, again, we had some guys on bye, and this is you get to keep one player. So we've kept him around on our roster, thinking it's possible he may be the guy we hold on to for next season. Well, anyways, we plugged him into our lineup 2 weeks ago. And sadly, we ended up losing both our games. We lost one game by 2 points and one game by 5 points. And unfortunately for us, Chevault got hurt and only managed to play. I don't even think he played the entire first quarter and scored just 1 point. So obviously, if he plays the whole game, he's probably going to score enough points for us to win both games. But, you know, those are the breaks of fantasy football. And then this past week, we had it happen to us again. Again, we lost one game by 4 points and one game by 5 points, and Drew Brees is our quarterback. Yeah, he got 7.8 points and then got injured and taken out of the game. Now, if Drew Brees sticks around, he's easily going to score 6 or 7, probably even 10 more points in the game. While he hasn't had a great fantasy season, he's still a good enough quarterback to do that for us. So instead of going 4-0 in these games, we go 0-4, and we're basically just eliminated from any kind of playoff competition or getting our money back at this point. They do a bottom feeder tournament, so maybe we'll get lucky and manage to win that. But, yeah, it's just kind of humorous how, you know, the fantasy genre kind of works out. I mean, we're looking at two injuries that cost us 4 games. You know, like all we needed out of our wide receiver that 1 week was a reception that went over 10 yards, and we win both those games. You know, if Brees would have just thrown a touchdown pass, we win both those games. You know, I mean, obviously we're not the only team that's going through this. It's just, you know, for me, it's kind of interesting to see how it goes and what happens with this as the season goes on. And, Obviously, in reverse, there are guys that just seem to have all the luck, and no matter what they do or who they plug into their lineup, they play the best that they could possibly play. And the humorous thing with that team also is for the first time since Mr. Fantasy and I have ever played this league, and it's probably been maybe 10 plus years now, we have never gotten the first pick in the draft. This year we get the first pick, so we take Christian McCaffrey just like you're supposed to, and he's been hurt for a good majority of the season. So, again, it's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles or the ball bounces or however you look at it. But yeah, just kind of funny that it's worked out that way for us, and we'll see how it goes and if Mr. Fantasy even decides that he wants to do this again next year. So we'll see. But Dan has jumped in. Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Not much. The dogs were talking, so I was trying to be quiet. Wait, are
Yeah.
you saying you guys will not be doing your money league next year, or?
No, I don't know. It's odd because I like physically speak to Mr. Fantasy anymore. We'd now just trade text like the rest of the world. Like either I'll text him or he'll text me and it'll be like, what is the lineup okay or something like that. But we don't ever physically talk, so like I don't know how he's feeling about next year, or his obviously his employment situation has changed, so I don't know if that's something that could affect it, or how it kind of works. But it's always a possibility, and to be honest with you, if we didn't do it's not that big of a effect. Me, I mean, I enjoy doing it because it's interesting and it gives you and I something to talk about. But overall, I mean, like I don't interact with any of the guys in that league, and they're all, as they're all very rich men, and I don't fit into that category, so they don't really speak to me about anything. So I'm just kind of there. And even I know I've mentioned it before, even when they list the team, it's under Mr. Fantasy's real name. I don't even exist on the roster. So, but yet every other team, if it's managed by two guys, has both names.
Yeah.
For like the longest, well, actually, I believe it's still like this. I still don't get the league emails. They for all these years they haven't managed to put me on the email list, even though we've asked multiple times. So you can kind of see where I rank among these guys, and it's just kind of like, okay, whatever, I'm just here to help out.
It's because you didn't show up with a brand new John Lester jersey, or whoever the hot guy was at the time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, or yeah, maybe it's the fact that I don't wear Cub and White Sox stuff, and I wear all kinds of other stuff when we go to these drafts. So, like I was planning, if we actually get the face-to-face for baseball, I'm going to wear my new Freddie Freeman jersey and see what they think of that now that he's an MVP.
Nice. You got a Freddie Freeman jersey?
Yeah.
Did I
Yeah.
miss
Well,
it?
and the tough part now is, the funny thing is we always used to meet at Mr. Fantasy's office because he had room to host everybody. Well, he no longer has that job now, so if we do get together, I don't know where they would be planning on doing it. And I'm not going to drive, 500 miles away because these guys all live almost as far away from me as you do, just in another direction. So, it's just not worth it for me to make that trip when you can do it online just as easy.
Well, that and the fact that it takes like 6 days for you guys to, for them to do
Right.
the
Yeah.
draft.
And if we do get another version where a guy takes 27 minutes to pick, I think there's going to be a mutiny. So,
I mean, that's just flat out ridiculous.
yeah. So, You know, and as much as the clock on Yahoo when we do it irritates me, now everybody can understand why you need a clock when you're drafting. So, you know,
yeah.
And even like the worst part, well, our football league, you know, we have keeper picks. And the keeper picks are all sent out, so you all know who's keeping them and what round they're going to be drafted in. But at every year, there are a couple idiots who pick a guy that's a keeper. Even though it's been sent out, you should know all this. You know, because like one of the guys has been keeping Alvin Kamara because he got him really late in his rookie year. And the way you do it is you can keep a guy until he gets to the first round. And every year his draft position moves up 2 rounds. So, you know, we're sitting there in the 3rd round and a guy takes Alvin Kamara. Why do you think Alvin Kamara is still available in the 3rd round of a 15 or 16 team draft? You know, we're all not that stupid. So obviously he's a keeper, but yet somebody what a great Alvin Kamara in the 3rd round. Really, you know, then they've got to go in and reset and get it all caught up. And it's like, oh, geez, you guys are morons. So, and yet they still beat us every year. I don't know how the hell it happens. Oh, but anyways, enough with football. There's a ton of baseball stuff going on, and I know it's the off season, but you and I got to get to this. So let's start with what would be considered the breaking news from today. I don't know if you've caught up with this story yet, Dan, but Robinson Cano, the former Yankee, mm-hmm. Mariner, and New York Met, won't be playing at all in the 2021 season. And I know the first thought is, oh my God, he's injured. Well, no, he's not injured at all. He's actually pretty healthy. Cano just happened to fail his 2nd PED test and is now suspended for the entire season. Remember, he failed with I believe he was a Mariner in 2018, and he got an 80-game suspension. Well, this is number 2, so it's automatically 162 games. You know, Dan, this guy was, you know, let's face it, this guy was headed for a Hall of Fame career with, you know, the numbers he put up for the Yankees. And even, he, you know, he struggled a little in Seattle, but he still had great numbers. You know, he's got zero shot of even staying on the ballot for more than 1 year now, doesn't he?
I forgot you can get kicked off after a year, but yeah, I don't think he gets in there.
Well, you know, and it, you know, I guess, you know, anytime like I hear, you know, a guy got caught taking this, I immediately begin to wonder how long has he been taking it. You know, I mean, does this equate to why his numbers have been so good throughout his career? So I just don't get it, you know. And this fits when you go down the line, like this fits for the Barry Bonds and the Roger Clemens and the Rafael Palmeiros, and even throw, you know, you can throw Sammy Sosa in there. All these guys who have used and either haven't admitted it or got a positive test and didn't want to actually admit it. You know, to me, it just kind of tarnishes everything they do. I mean, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, excuse me. It definitely tarnishes it. You know, when you bring up the Hall of Fame, do you just... There's not going to be an asterisk, but I mean, do you encompass his whole career when you start to look at the votes? And again, this is, you know, this is the big reason when it comes to the Hall of Fame and you know, the MVP, you know, the player award voting at the end of the season. I just they need to define some qualifications. You know, even when it comes to the PDD usage, because you think about it, you're talking about a guy who had his first one suspension in 2018, so he essentially played half a season that year. So I mean, do you begin to just look at his career from 2005 to 2017?
Yeah, like I said, I don't know how to, how to really take it. I mean, he's had a long career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when, you go back and you look at his career, but, now how long has it been since he's been using? I mean, you have to think it was before 2020, right?
Yeah, well, you think about it, you're going to test positive. Isn't this the worst season to test positive on? I mean, he was only in 49 days.
Yeah, it's so tough because obviously the tests are random, so you don't always have to take them. But, he broke in 2005, so you gotta kind of begin to question when did he start using? Was it the year he hit 39 home runs in Seattle or the year he hit 33 in New York? Was there or was it just, was 2018 the first year because he was getting older and he thought he needed the help? He is 38. So.
Yeah, well, when you kind of put it like that, just looking at the numbers, at 34 in 2017 out there in Seattle, it was essentially, when you kind of look at it, maybe one of his lowest points. I know batting average don't mean anything anymore, but he posted his lowest batting average up to that point at 280. And, I'm going to just try to quickly look at this. So when he posted that, he had, 23 home runs that year? So, that's taking him back to his, youth days. And you come back and the numbers jump for 2018, but then they fall back down in 2019, where if you look at everything prior to 2016, it's pretty, I guess I was wrong. 2008, he had the lowest batting average of 271. But if you kind of look at it, everything's kind of consistent and on an upward swing, and then kind of got your bounces up and down after that 2017.
Yeah, and that's where you have to kind of figure out when did it start. And I mean, we were looking at a guy who was on trajectory to get 3,000 hits, which is pretty much an automatic qualifier for the Hall of Fame. He still had 2 years left in New York, so you add a couple hundred hits there, and then he could probably still hang around somewhere as a DH to get himself to that 3,000 hump. Now missing the entire year, I don't see that happening. I don't see teams taking a chance on him once the contract expires with the Mets. And then, just to kind of – not that he needs the money, but the big insult to injury is he now forfeits his $24 million salary for the 2021 season. I guess you do have to kind of start to wonder, what do you think the Mets do to kind of try to fill the gap here? Because humorously, and this makes me laugh now that they have the new owner and, they've cleaned house with the front office and they're getting all that set. they're kind of the new hot button team on when there's a big free agent or a player that needs to be traded, that it's going to be the Mets to go out and get them. So now, Dan, apparently we're under the impression that the Mets will now go out and get Francisco Lindor and plug him in at short and then move one of their shortstops over to second base, be it Amed Rosario or Andre Jimenez. Of course, Jimenez would probably go in any kind of a deal. But I just don't see the Mets having the firepower to pick up a player like Lindor. I don't think they have the minor league system. But I do get a kick out of that. Do you have, you know, any other ideas on what they might do to try to fill the void? Because I don't think there's a big name second base free agent, but I'll double check on that while you're answering.
I was trying to pull things up. So, I mean, like you said, he's forfeiting. Spotrac is taking over my laptop right now. Big Jack, I didn't realize Brett Faber didn't even got a Bobby Bonilla deal either. you've got roughly $1.5 million that you've gotten deferred salaries for Bonilla and Faberhagen. Those guys are smart. But, you know, like you said, you've just lost $20 million. You know, it says his base salary is 24, but the adjusted salary is 20, you know, $20.25 million. So, I mean, you definitely have to make some hands, don't you? I'm not sure, you know, that's where it gets confusing. I'm going to have to start learning how this all works. But, you know, just like you said, looking at what they have, who they have, you know, who are you plugging in at second? I mean, you know, you brought up Lindor. Isn't this – I wouldn't just put it as the Mets having the new owners or new management and all that good stuff. It's just part of it. But, I mean, if you want to do anything with your team, I think he's a definite target and you should be going after him.
Yeah, and, you know, they could fill the void through free agency if they would like to pay, like, a DJ LeMahieu. Obviously, he's the big name at second base. Your guy Tommy La Stella, who's the number one free agent the Cubs are going after. Jerkson Profar is out there. He's still really young. He's only 28. I didn't realize that. The Cardinals allowed Colton Wong to go into free agency. But, you know, LeMahieu is clearly far and away better than any of these other guys on the free agent market. Do you think maybe they make a run there and pay him big money for, you know, multi-years to bring him in?
I mean, it's hard to say. He's the free agent, the hot free agent. How much time does Robinson Cano have left? See, that's where the challenge comes in. So you drop $20 million off your books next year for 2021, but then you get it right back. You know, so you have two more seasons. Like you said, I don't know if anyone's trading for him. You know, is Seattle going to take him back? I don't think so. And then would they be the ones that still get stuck with any money if they trade him? Or would that go to Seattle? I don't see that. Well, that he also has a full no trade clause. So he's theirs. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so you go after DJ LeMahieu, and now you potentially, well, I think if you go after LeMahieu, are you looking at 4 years? you know, and then you're hoping that Rob Manfred gets his head out of his ass and just agrees to allow the league, the National League, to have a DH. I mean, can we just get over it already? I know you're not really a fan of it. I'm not really a fan of it. But we've accepted it a while ago. We know it's a matter of time. I mean, I just don't understand what, you know, Manfred has literally done nothing since he's come in. Oh, he'll speed up the game. And he hasn't sped up anything. He hasn't improved the game. He hasn't done jack. You know, for him to make a name for himself, I think that would be the one thing, because then for the next 100 years, oh, well, you know, Rob Manfred kind of put that in. And that would be your saving grace, is if you kind of look at it and you go, oh, well, the National League has, you know, now has a designated hitter, so we can kind of dive in and go after DJ LeMahieu. And then it won't be such like a log jam at second base, you know. Cano would be able to get his days off, even though looking at his stats, I mean, this guy, when he's healthy, when he's not suspended, he's in 160 games, you know, 150 games. So, you know, being able to have that luxury of having Cano, not this, you know, 2021, but 2022 and, be, you know, 23, and LeMahieu playing the same position but having that DH, I think would be a great asset for that team.
Yeah, you know, and if they were interested, you know, it looks like we're going to have, I'm going to go with Ha So Kim is going to be posted. He played for the Kiwoon Heroes in the Korean Baseball League. He's got some pretty solid numbers. He's coming off a 30 home run season where he drove in, 109 runs. He's only 25. So, you know, if they would be willing to, you know, go that route, they could probably lock up the position long term, you know, picking up somebody like that. So there, you know, there are some options. It'll be kind of fun to see which way they decide to go and how they decide to do it. But I guess what you have to worry about, right, is if you lock somebody up long term, you're going to get Cano back next year for at least one more year. Unless you're willing to eat the majority of that contract, nobody's taking him in a trade.
No,
so
that's
$8 million. You know, you'd have to figure out, you know, and I know this Mets owner, you know, has, you know, billions, so maybe he would be willing to eat it to get rid of him. But yeah, who knows? And you know, you mentioned DH, but remember they have Pete Alonso and Dominic Smith, who are both predominantly first basemen. So one of them will probably occupy the majority of the designated hitter at bats. I know Smith can play a little outfield, but I don't think you want him out there unless you absolutely positively got to kind of have him out there. So it'll be, you know, again, it'll be fun to see how the Mets decide to juggle this, or, you know, maybe they will try to go all in and, you know, pick up a guy like Lindor and, you know, see if they have the prospects to do it. I don't remember them having a hugely rated farm system, but, you know, you never know. I mean, maybe they could headline a package with, you know, a guy like Jimenez or a guy like Smith and, you know, pump it up with enough prospects to make it interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it's even a secret. Lindor's gone. He's not going back to Cleveland.
No, and they've said that they want to trade him. So it's no shock at all that, his name is going to come up. I mean, literally the seconds after the Indians announced that they would be looking to deal him, people already had him going to the Dodgers. So,
Wait, how does that work, though, the damage for itself?
yeah, but remember, everybody has said for years that with Corey Seager's body type, he would probably have to move to third base. And, Justin Turner is a free agent, so they could let Turner go, move Seager to third, and deal for Lindor.
It's not a bad idea, though.
So, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, it all makes fantastic sense. I mean, that would be, hey, great, here you go, let's just go and do that. But, it's not like the Dodgers don't have the prospects to give up. It would just be kind of like, what are we, what are they looking at in return? And would Lindor sign, or does he want to go out on the free agent market? Because if you're just going to get him for the year, or is it 2 years? I don't remember when his arbitration is up. But if you can't re-sign him, and you're giving away three or four top prospects, is it worth it?
Yeah, and like you said, it's last year is 2021, so he'd be a unrestricted free agent after that. And fortunately, he's not with Boris, but I'm not sure, what his team would be looking at.
So yeah, because looking at the Dodgers prospects, they have guys that they could give you that would contribute a lot faster than a lot of teams. Their number one guy, surprisingly, the Dodgers, their number one prospect is a pitcher, Josiah Gray, who's in Triple A. We've seen the catcher number two, Keibert Ruiz, has been up and down a little bit. And then a little farther down the board, their ninth prospect is Mitch White, another pitcher who's had a cup of coffee in the major leagues. And when you get to 10, it's Jacob Amaya, who's a middle infielder who played at Double A. So you're looking at four guys right there who aren't too far away. Obviously, some of them have already seen a little bit of time in the big leagues. So it wouldn't take much to get them. Like on the Mets prospect list, all top 10 of their prospects are either in one version or another of Class A or in rookie league. So you're looking at guys that are a minimum probably 3 to 4 years away from getting to your major league roster. So, that's the big difference there in dealing with certain teams. So, I don't, again, and I don't know what they're going to end up doing, or where he's going to go, because obviously pretty much every team in Major League Baseball is interested in Francisco Lindor. It just depends on who can pull the deal off and who can't. So, we'll kind of wait and see. But that does, it gives the Mets that extra option of not having to go and sign a guy. But we'll see. And then Dan, the other big news, especially here locally, and I don't think you're surprised by this. I wasn't shocked by this at all. But Theo Epstein has decided to walk away from the Cubs after 9 years. He had 1 year left on his contract. Now he basically said he's not going to do anything in baseball for the 2021 season. which doesn't surprise me because he's collecting his money from some of his money, at least from the Cubs, I'm sure. But he is interested in not only getting back in the game, Dan, but being on the involved in ownership. So that was kind of interesting to hear. First, Dan, what do you see Epstein's next move being? Where does he end up, basically?
Oakland.
Can he handle it with the budget restrictions?
Yeah, because then he could just say, they won't let me spend any money. Let's break it down real quick. Why did Theo retire or step down?
I don't know why, but I'm dying to hear what your reason is.
Oh, it's because he doesn't want to have that reputation of walking out. You know, what he did in Boston, it got too hot in the kitchen. You know, players, whatever, staff wasn't happy. He walked out on the team. Then he came back, and then essentially he walked out again because didn't they coordinate almost a trade for him to come to Chicago? It was such a bizarre such a bizarre type of deal. Well, as we've discussed, you know, like Uncle Bob, God rest his soul, you know, we'll talk about, oh, he's done this and that. I go, no, you know, he didn't tear down a team and rebuild the Red Sox. He banked it off of, qualifying offers and giving qualifying offers to tons of players that he knew they weren't going to sign with him. And, you know, Nomar Garciaparra off the top of my head because he played for the Cubs. And he was stacking up his draft picks in the first round. Well, once the last CBA comes to, they eliminated that process, and he no longer can stack draft picks. And let's be honest, he's leaving town before the shit hits the fan. Because
exactly,
this is the last year that this whole unit is going to be together. The next two seasons, it's all going to be broken up. So, you know, he had to get out of town before he had to make the hard decision. So as I asked my friend, I go, well, how does, you know, he's like, oh, you know, Jed, whatever. I go, yeah, but Jed spent one season on his own without Theo in San Diego. And I think part of that was just to get him out of Boston so that when Theo made his next move, which was the Cubs, he can get him back. You know, I mean, let's follow the trail real quick. Theo drafted Anthony Rizzo. Jed went to San Diego. Anthony Rizzo went to San Diego. Theo went to the Cubs. Jed went to the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo went to the Cubs. So, I mean, yeah, it's nice that Jed Hoyer is going to come in and take the president role, but he has to hire a strong general manager because, I mean, let's be honest, he doesn't even have a track record. All of his accomplishments are
Hoyer also only has 1 year on his contract because him and Theo were signed to the same deal.
So, I mean, you know, Jed, I think, will run this season out. He won't – I think he'll be like a Kenny Williams, not like a negative, but in the fact that he's going to hold that position, bring in a new general manager, and, you know, and this is where David Ross's coaching career is going to die.
Yeah, and, you know, like you mentioned the tough decision, you know, what's coming up here is – Anthony Rizzo is in the last year of his contract. All right. Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, and Kyle Schwarber are in their last years of arbitration. That is your four basically main core players, minus Wilson Contreras, who's 2 years away from free agency. You know, those four guys all hit the free agent market next year. You know, you would be lucky to be able to bring two of them back, you know, and, you know, they missed out. I think you mentioned they should have traded Schwarber after he had such a great World Series and maximized his value. But for whatever reason, Theo doesn't move his guys. That's why they're all still here. He drafted all these guys. You know, there was interest in Ian Happ last season, or Ian Happ, I should say, because he had such a down year, but Theo wouldn't give him up because he's Theo's guy. To be fair, I do believe Fias was drafted before Theo got here, but he made his major league debut on, and he's really his guy. So, not, you know, and the spot he left the Cubs in is terrible. You know, I mean, they're almost on the verge of another rebuild just because of where he's got him right now, because his refusal to make these moves. You know, and then, you know, Dan, we look at his legacy, and I know what everybody's going to say is, oh, well, he won a World Series here. Nobody else has been able to do that. And, Dan, you know my problem with this. My problem is he only won one World Series.
Yeah.
This team was loaded and should have been a dynasty. Not only did he not only win one, he only got them to one. They never got back.
No, and the Cubs are essentially now the Bears. You know, I mean,
yeah, pretty much. So,
you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to be like, oh, the White Sox, and I'm flipping a script, and I'm, you know, going to go out and sell all my Cubs crap, all my hats and everything, and become a White Sox fan. But I think the way they're working, they might have a system where they'll be able to kind of compete, disappear, compete, where the way the Cubs are set up right now, the way Theo set it up is basically you build it up, tear it down. And I'm sorry,
exactly.
I will say this a million, you know, this is what Theo left the Cubs. So, you know, 2015 was the early system. So now they're 5 years later. They've only won one World Series. Like I said, Uncle Bob was all into it. And, you know, don't you want a team that's going to contend for five, you know, over, you know, yeah, it sucks these couple of years, but they're going to be a championship contending team. And I didn't buy it when he was trying to feed it to me. And before he died, he completely flipped his theory, you know, his what he was saying. And I even said, you know, I'm like, you remember, this is what you said. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, he never said I was right. But, you know, it's like the whole thing, if it weren't for Jason Hayward's speech, I don't know, you know, would they have won? And you're right, like you said, if we were in the same position today and the Cubs were at least gone to the World Series two or three times, even just a minimum of the win and one more World Series, but we're battling the Dodgers for at least 3 or 4 years, then we would,
right.
You know, it would be, this would be celebratory, but it's not. And that's why,
you know, I mean, you're looking at a team that in the last 3 years, yeah, technically they made the playoffs twice. They got eliminated by the Miami Marlins this year. Let that sink in. And then the other time when they technically went into the playoffs, they lost a play-in game. So while, yeah, okay, great, they were in, were they really in? Because it was game 163. I know it counts as a playoff game, but is it really a playoff game?
No, it's not.
You know, what did he accomplish? You know, they did go to the one NLCS the year before they won the World Series. But after they won that World Series, it was straight downhill for this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've never contended again. And part of the reason was the fact you said, you don't get those big-time high draft picks for a guy you give a qualifying offer to. Now you get, I believe it's a second or a third rounder. If you look at the Cubs minor league system, Who the hell has he developed in the minors, especially pitching? Can you name one pitcher that developed through the Cubs minor league system under Theo Epstein?
There's that one guy, I forgot his name, Dwayne Underwood.
Right, and but how's he done in the majors, dominating the staff? Is he leading the Cubs pitching staff where he should be?
I don't even think he has 100 innings pitched.
Right. You know, and again, I bring up the Dodgers who managed to develop Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, and the list goes on and on and on. And I know Stu is hanging his hat on this Almirola, this other guy that's popped up occasionally in the majors, but I don't buy it, you know, and now you're looking at the point where, you know, the rotation is Darvish, Hendricks, and Alec Mills heading in the next season. Jed's got to fill it out. You know, you always figured John Lester would come back, but with Theo gone, now you got to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the sad part is it's going to get ugly for the Cubs, and it's going to get ugly in a hurry. So, you know, I mean, imagine if they lose Rizzo, Bryant, and Schwarber after this season.
Well, let's be honest. The only one, well, number one, for whatever reason, I know his numbers aren't where they could be or should be, especially for a former Rookie of the Year and MVP, but I don't think Cubs fans are going to be too hurt when Chris Bryant is gone. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be kind of a relief, kind of like the Nationals felt when Bryce Harper was finally out of their hair. I respect the kid, whatever, this and that. I think he's a great ball player, but it's just funny how he's gone and all of a sudden they just turn it completely around. So I don't think that one will hurt as much. I do think it will sting, though, because you won't have that Brizzo thing anymore going on, which, I mean, I think over the last two seasons, they've kind of cut those commercials out and we don't see that stuff anymore. But, you know, obviously this season I didn't get any access to Cubs games until like the last 2 weeks, so unless it was on Fox or ESPN. But, you know, I think that'll hurt, but, you know, I think people will be sad that Schwarber's gone, but, you know, like you said, it's like, well, once these guys are gone because their contracts expired, not because you traded them and, you know, got something in return like Rick Hahn would have done. And, you know, again, don't get me, I'm not jumping on the White Sox bandwagon, but let's be honest. He made some spectacular moves, and he got a lot of value in return for what he did. And he pissed off a lot of people. But look at the team.
Well, when it comes to Bryant, you know, I get it. He was dinged up in this short season, and he had a crappy year. But you look at, you know, 2019 – and we are talking about a guy who hit 282 with 31 bombs. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, he only had 77 RBIs. Well, a lot of that was because Joe Maddon had him hitting at the top of the order. So there wasn't anybody on base in front of him. So, you can't really hold that against him. Wonder how much the injuries played in the last season because he only played in 34 games.
He shouldn't even play this season.
We're talking about Cub fans being okay with giving away a 280 plus hitter with 30 plus home run potential for David Bodie to be your everyday third baseman?
No, not even Bodie.
Yeah.
Tommy La Stella.
No, Tommy La Stella will play second. So.
Oh, jeez. I thought that was Hap's job.
Yeah. Cool. No, Hap's got to play the outfield because Schwarber will be gone.
Yeah,
so he'll have to be a full-time.
Oh, my God. Big Jack, what about the? Oh, wait, that's right. The superstar left fielder that they could have had on their team plays on the south side of Chicago now. That's right. I forgot. How did I
Yeah.
forget about that?
You know what I mean? You know, I know they do have, they, you know, they still have Nico Horner, obviously, but there are apparently a lot of questions raised now as of late as if he's going to turn into an everyday major league player or if he's basically just going to be a utility guy. So we'll have to kind of see how that one shakes out. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's just 24, so there's time for him to develop. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you start looking at this team, he Theo Epstein didn't leave them with much. And again, I know the first thing that's going to come to everybody's mind is, oh, well, he did a great job. They won a World Series. Yes, they did, but, and there's a big but sitting there.
But they didn't do what he said they were going to do.
Right. So, you know, we'll see. And I know, you know, like the Cubs' number one prospect is Braylon Marquez, who is a left-handed pitcher who apparently looks like he could be major league ready. They better kind of hope he is because they need pitching somewhere. You know, I don't know where they're going to get it from or how they're going to figure it out, but he needs to be something in this rotation or else this team is in trouble. You know, I mentioned the other guy is Adbet, what is it? It's Alzolay. I think it's pronounced. He's the guy Schomburg Stew is really high on. You know, he was solid last year as a reliever, but the Cubs need him as a starter. And he kind of struggled in the minors as a starter. So I don't know how big of an addition he's going to be. All their other guys are, again, it's one of these things where you look at their top prospect and it's A ball rookie league, A ball, A ball, A ball, A ball rookie league. Again, these guys are 3 to 4 years away. And who knows what they'll be when they get here.
Yeah, Big Jack, but all you need to do to win is draft hitters and sign pitchers.
Yeah, you know, but the problem is for whatever reason, the Cubs stopped signing people. You know, I mean, there's absolutely no reason they shouldn't be one of the teams in the Trevor Bauer Derby. But have you even heard their name mentioned?
No, I don't hear their name mentioned in anything.
Well, Tommy La Stella. He's their number one guy. He's the number one target for the Cubs. And that's where you know there's a problem. Because with all the free agents out there, he's their number one target. You know, and you know, my fear is we're going to see them do the thing where they bring in like Chris Archer. Or, you know, guys kind of along that line who have failed due to injury, and they're going to believe that they can rehab them and they can get them right. And, you know, they'll be the guys who, well, look, you know, we've got this big return on a guy we didn't pay any money for, even though, you know, they tried it with Brett Anderson, it didn't work. I believe, you know, they tried it with Trevor Cahill, it didn't really work out. I believe Cahill had some success as a reliever, but again, you needed a starter. You know, we just saw the Tyler Chatwood experiment go absolutely nowhere. So I, you know, and that's my fear. My fear is that's what we're going to get is them going out and just signing these guys they think they can fix for no money, and then just not having it work out. But yeah, so it does, it kind of makes me wonder what Theo Epstein's legacy really is. And again, it's going to be like, well, they won a World Series. And like I heard somebody already say that he's a Hall of Famer because he won World Series with the Red Sox and the Cubs, and that's probably true. But you as a Cub fan, Dan, can you say that they were as successful as you thought they would be with Epstein running the show? Oh, did I kill Dan?
Nope, I muted myself for
Dan,
some reason.
there.
You're not supposed to peak in your 5-year plan and then in the middle of it and then fall off. I mean, kind of cycling back, Big Jack, Dwayne Underwood, I really remember him because, that was the year he was drafted. It was 2012 when you and I really broke down all the minor, not the minor, the prospects for each team that year. Kind of, maybe we should try doing that again this year, in January or something. But like I said, he didn't even hit 100 innings. Well, he didn't debut until 2018. He's 23 years old then. He's pitched in 31 innings. So there's that as far as the pitching went. I'm sorry, 37. I don't know, that's the projection. So he has 36.1 innings. Okay. No, for me, I mean, yeah, of course, the World Series is a huge accomplishment, but it was, believe the hype, however you want to put it, but we were led to believe that by making this team as bad as it was from, 12 to 13, 12, 13, and 14, that we were going to see essentially what the Dodgers did.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they took a guy that was supposed to be this leadoff hitter, and he goes, he really, I'll give it to Dexter Fowler. He obviously, he's made it to the majors. He's better than me. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to take anything away from a major league player. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he sucks. But I don't think that he was as big of a key leadoff hitter as they made him. And that was, something you talked about, I think, for 3 seasons, that they needed to solidify the leadoff hitter and bolster the bullpen. I mean, they didn't either. And that's the biggest reason why they couldn't move forward. And then bringing this whole analytical dumb crap. Analytics is part of the game. I'm not going to take that away. Old guy managing is part of the game. You need the combo. But by taking a guy who's a 30 home run guy, he should be hitting 30 home runs and having 100 RBIs. But that's impossible when you think that putting Tommy La Stella in the 9 hole as opposed to having John Lester back there is going to give you that extra leadoff BS. You know what I mean? It didn't work. And I just always thought it was funny because you get to the World Series and all that analytical crap and that stuff that you tried going with. What did they do? What did Joe do? He dropped all of it when it came to the World Series and went back to what he quoted as saying 1940s baseball. So it's just, it's just kind of funny how it played out. And it was successful in that they got the World Series, but they didn't do what they were going to do.
The link there will take you to the Facebook page. Don't forget to give that a like. Don't forget to answer the Twitter feed to the Sports Fan Radio. You can follow Dan on Twitter as well if you'd like to look at the page. If you stop by and listen to us live, thank you for doing so. Remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.
Perfect. radio.com.